Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Charles James, this evening. And tonight we'll be talking, the program will come to you in two segments. In the first part, we'll be talking with Philadelphia Film Festival Artistic Director about the festival, which is currently in progress. And during the second segment, we'll be talking about the upcoming Holiday Marketplace Fine Art and Craft Show with members of the Lehigh Valley Guild of Craftsmen. I want to welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, Michael Lerman, Artistic Director of the Philadelphia Film Festival. Welcome to WDIY.
How you doing?
Good. You know, this year, this is the 22nd year for the Film Festival in Philadelphia, and with over 100 feature films from 35 countries in 11 days, the festival features a lot of quality films as usual. And tomorrow night will be the 20th anniversary screening of the film Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're really excited. We have Jonathan Demme coming in, and a really big, important film for the city, and a beautiful 35mm print, and so I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, this is one of the unique things of the festival, to be able to bring directors in to talk about the film, and you do that usually a few times during the festival.
Yeah, we have a whole slew of guests coming in. If you take a look on certain film pages, you'll see a list of the directors or filmmakers that will be there.
Matter of fact, this is a category, I think, of the film Philadelphia. Is that from the vaults? Is that the kind of category that fits into for the festival?
Yeah, it's a category of retrospective films that we're doing. So,
and this film really kind of marked a few different points in film. It really was kind of groundbreaking as a major film to deal with AIDS epidemic.
Yeah, I think it was a major film to deal with the AIDS epidemic. It was one of the first major Hollywood films to deal with homosexuality, and obviously it's an important story to the city, and it's something that we like to remember and kind of celebrate. So,
you also have a whole segment of films called Filmadelphia, and it almost seems to kind of fit into that as well. And we're going to be talking about the different categories of films, but first I wanted to ask about the PFS Theater at the Roxy, the Philadelphia Film Society. It will be a newly reopened theater where the Filmadelphia category films will continue year-round.
Yeah, we're going to be doing all sorts of year-round programming. It'll be like the festival year-round, but in the theater, historic Roxy Cinema.
So will it be just kind of that category of films, or will it be a lot of different types of films that you show there all year?
No, it'll be first-run pendant films, and we'll do some retrospective stuff, and then we'll do a series of local films as well. The greater Philadelphia section will kind of be extended out into the year.
So in the director's notes for this year's festival guide, you noted that the festival has shrunk a little bit, but do you expect that the anticipated addition next year of this theater, the Roxy Theater, will help to offset that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we shrunk it because we wanted to kind of trim out some of the fat. You know, there were some things that the festival's already so big, and so we wanted to make sure it was kind of the best of the best. And I think that, you know, there's always things we can't put in a festival that we love, and so we'll have a lot of that at the theater. And I just expect to have great programming all year round.
Well, there's a great variety of film that's offered, as usual. And before we discuss some of the specific films, can you briefly talk about the different film categories that exist in the festival?
Sure. I mean, we have a lot of kind of, it's our way of grouping things together and helping make the festival easier to navigate. But, you know, we have categories like contemporary francophone cinema, which is films that are in French, but from all over the world. And I think that, you know, we have some great, great selections in this category this year. So that's one. Another one that I'm particularly proud of is Sight and Soundtrack, which is movies that are musical-based. They're either documentaries about musicians or biopics or kind of musicals themselves or films that play into being about music in some way. So I think that's another great category. We also have Eastern European Visions this year. We have a lot of great Eastern European films, so that's one. As always, we have The Graveyard Shift, which is kind of the more edgy, darker, horror type stuff. You know, we have the local category, which you mentioned. We have Masters of Cinema, which is some of the great filmmakers from around the world. And then we have, of course, World Narratives, which is kind of a big, all-encompassing look at other narratives from around the world that aren't being, you know, we like to spotlight things like Spanish language cinema or Eastern European visions, but in World Narratives, it's kind of the rest of the world. So there's lots of great stuff in there, too.
Notice you also have the Spanish language stories category as well this year.
Yeah, I really like that category. I think that it's had some great films in the past, and this year it has films like Gloria, which is this amazing performance from this older actress, Paulina Garcia, this Chilean film about an older woman kind of coming to terms with her love life, and it's very female empowering, and it's great for an older audience. It's great for any age audience, but it won Best Actress in Berlin, and it, you know, it's a real crowd pleaser, so I think people really love that film. And there are other films like The German Doctor, which is an Argentine story of post-World War II, of kind of a vagabond community in which this mysterious German doctor begins to infiltrate it, and it's kind of a thriller. It's a really tense drama, great performances. So those are a couple things that are in the Spanish language category that are worth taking a look at.
And then you have a category called American Independence as well.
Yeah, American Independence is kind of the forefront of independent cinema in our own country. So we have a film called 12 O'Clock Boys about these bike gangs in Baltimore. It's a documentary. It's really, really fantastic. It's really beautiful and well-made. And some people have been kind of comparing it to The Wire, which I think is an apt comparison, though it's more focused on children. But it was season 4 of The Wire. So, you know, we have a really twisty, complicated sci-fi thriller made for, you know, like 2 cents, but really smartly done and smartly planned out film called Coherence. We have a film called Blue Highway, which is about a couple traveling across America, you know, going places where their favorite films were shot, and it's kind of develops into their story and their personal relationship, and the way that's even tied to an award we're doing for this up-and-coming actress, Carrie Bichet, who is in Argo, and she's in a series of other things. She's in Red State, Kevin Smith's Red State. And we're giving her the Rising Star Award with this Blue Highway. So I think that'll be a good event, too.
I'd like to remind our listeners that you're tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY. I'm your host, Charles James, tonight, talking with Artistic Director of the Philadelphia Film Festival, Michael Lerman. I'd like to, as we, you know, kind of delve into some more films that are featured during the festival, there's one that won the Cannes Film Festival Palme d'Or this year. It's a 3-hour film, Blue is the Warmest Color. And that's shown, I believe, tomorrow night. Can you comment on that film? Is that getting some attention this year?
I mean, I think it's getting a lot of attention, and I think it's all very well-deserved attention. I think it's a fantastic, fantastic piece of work. I think that anybody that comes will say it's probably easily one of their favorite films of the year, and it's this very moving lesbian love story. It's interesting because it is long, but it kind of lets you get to know the characters really well and lets you sit with them for long enough that you really become part of their lives, and it doesn't matter your age or your sexual orientation. It just reminds you what first love is like and how beautiful it is and also how painful it is. And it's a very, very kind of stirring piece of cinema, and it's really smart and incredibly well acted. And it's something not to miss, really. It takes place over the course of an entire relationship, so it is several years. But, you know, every scene is very, very long, so you really get a chance to kind of really get to know these people. It's sort of the effect you have when you watch a TV show for several seasons and you really get to know the characters and you live with them, and it's like that, but in a 3-hour film. And it's just beautiful. It's just kind of perfect the way it's put together. So,
and then one thing that's kind of classic for film festivals that you're continuing to offer is both the live-action shorts program as well as the animated shorts program on this final and second weekend of the festival, which is coming up.
Well, we're doing something new this year, actually. We've done an animated shorts program before, and we're doing that again. We're doing it throughout the week. But also, we still show the live-action shorts in front of features, but because of the way our competition is working this year, we've taken great pains to make sure that we're going to announce the competition winners on Friday night, and then on Saturday and Sunday, we're going to rescreen every film that was in competition, and that includes the shorts. So we put together a live-action shorts program for the rest of the shorts that aren't in front of competition features, so that they will rescreen in the last weekend as well, so that no matter what, you'll get an opportunity to see every film that will reward in the last 2 days of the festival, if you so choose, or things that were eligible for awards as well. So
also, I noticed a film that's part of the Masters of Cinema series. It's a Japanese film that deals with familial relationships, and it's called Like Father, Like Son. And it seemed like a remarkable story.
Yeah, it's a really amazing story. It's by Koreeda, who's a really brilliant Japanese filmmaker, and he's made a lot of films like Afterlife and Nobody Knows and, you know, all these, like, really iconic Japanese films. But this one is about parents who realize that their children were switched at birth. They realize it when they go to apply for the a prestigious private school because they have to submit medical records and take blood tests. And they, you know, it's about the issues of nature versus nurture and whether they should switch the children back and whether the children would be happier in the environment they grew up in, or, you know, how it affects the parents and how it affects both of the parents. And it's really, really fascinating piece of cinema.
And there's a documentary that's going to be shown that's dealing with, not sure if we have a clip for this or not, but there is a documentary called Let the Fire Burn, which is dealing about with a fatal standoff between the Philadelphia law enforcement and the black militant liberation group MOVE. And there's a panel discussion that follows that, too. That's on Saturday.
It's on Saturday afternoon in the Prince Music Theater. It's called Let the Fire Burn, and it's an outstanding documentary. It's one of the best documentaries I feel like I've ever seen about Philadelphia. It's all comprised of archival footage, and it's very journalistic and doesn't take a position on the story and weighs both sides evenly, and so it's really incredible the way it's put together. And then this panel with the director and some experts on the story, and some people from MOVE and some other people involved in the situation who are going to come speak, and I think it's going to be kind of a once-in-a-lifetime event. So I feel like it's a really important thing for the city, but I also feel like it's something that most filmgoers won't want to miss.
Let's play a little bit of clip. We do have it here, so I'll put this on right here.
Sure.
Philadelphia policemen surrounded the building after a MOVE member was spotted on the roof wearing a hooded mask and carrying a shotgun.
We intend to seize control of the house. We will do it by any means necessary.
Every one of us knew that someone was going to die.
You know, and you mentioned the panel will include a number of people. I saw from the guide that Ramona Africa, who is a minister of communication for MOVE, will be part of that panel, as well as the film director and the co-authors of the book.
Yeah.
Again, that's a Saturday afternoon event with both the film followed by that panel discussion, correct?
Yes, it's a three-hour event on Saturday afternoon. So we'll show the film and the prints, and then we'll have them all discussing more issues, and it'll be kind of like an extension of the film.
And, you know, I think also it's not really in the documentaries category, although I guess it is a documentary. But I noticed among the documentaries, you have a number of politically kind of based ones, one called Caucus, another one, God Loves Uganda, and Town Hall, which that one I believe is also in perhaps the Philadelphia category. But some interesting ones that deal with politics.
Yeah, I found that a lot of the documentaries we were loving this year either deal with politics or kind of political issues or issues from around the world. So, you know, we have a lot of great films about that. I mean, you know, Town Hall is about the Tea Party in Pennsylvania, and it's really fascinating. You rarely see a documentary that's about something like that that's not judgmental in any way. So,
right.
The first piece, you know, we have a film... We have a film called The Unknown Known, which is one of our centerpieces, which is Errol Morris' portrait of Donald Rumsfeld, and that's really fascinating. We have Caucus, which looks at the Iowa caucus from last year, and that's by A.J. Schnack, and that's really kind of amazing look into the politics there. We also have Remote Area Medical, which is about these small towns where people don't have health insurance, and these people set up these emergency clinics in which people can go and for 48 hours get all sorts of medical issues taken care of. And so that's kind of talks about health and privatized insurance in this country. And we have a lot of films like that. So it's definitely a theme through the documentaries this year, but it's one that I think is worth noting and worth
focusing
on. So.
I hate to cut you off. We're about out of time here. I just want to thank you for being my guest this afternoon on Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY. Michael Lerman, Artistic Director of the Philadelphia Film Festival.
Thank you so much.
You're tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY. We'll be back with the second segment of the program in just a few, in just a minute. We'll be talking with the Lehigh Valley Guild of Craftsmen about an upcoming show. So stay tuned.
Program support on WDIY, we thank Kutztown University Presents, announcing a new season of entertainment with former Fleetwood Mac guitarist Rick Vito, Thursday, October 24th, and a cappella group, Pentatonix, Saturday, October 26th, and Signature Broadway, featuring current Broadway performers doing everything from Rodgers and Hammerstein to Sondheim. Details at kutztown.edu/music.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Sovereign Performing Arts Center, announcing The Barefoot Contessa, coming to Reading. Ina Garten, cookbook author and star of Food Network's Barefoot Contessa, will be sharing her tips, stories, recipes, and answering audience questions Wednesday, November 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Sovereign Performing Arts Center in Reading. Tickets at the box office, Ticketmaster.com, or 800-745-3000.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Charles James, and I want to welcome to the second segment of the program tonight Brad Sears, who's president of the Lehigh Valley Guild of Craftsmen, and Paul Grecian, who's the former president of the Lehigh Valley Guild and current secretary of the PA Guild of Craftsmen. Welcome to WDIY.
We're delighted to be here.
You know, this is the 28th year for an upcoming annual holiday marketplace fine art and craft show. It takes place at the Swain School on October 26th on Saturday, that from 10 to 5, and then on Sunday, the 27th from 11 to 4. And again, this show is coordinated by Lehigh Valley Guild of Craftsmen. How many artists will be featured at the show, and where do they come from?
Well, we're actually a very small show, and we're looking at 30 very highly accomplished artisans that we come primarily from the valley here, but across the state, and actually we have some from outside, along the eastern seaboard. The big thing is everybody will be there during the show, greeting patrons, and telling the story, if you will, of the work that will be on sale.
And all of the artists will be present at the show.
That is correct. That is correct. That's part of what we're all about. We live in a very mechanistic society where mass production rules, but the notion of handcrafted work, the skill, the discipline, the successes and indeed the failures of the artisans is what makes the work so distinctive.
Well, you know, by going to the website, which is lvholidaymarketplace.com, you can see the artists, the artisans who will be participating. And most of them seem to have websites you can view in advance. But what else can people learn about the Holiday Marketplace show at the website when they go there?
Well, obviously, in addition to the participating artists and artisans, the website is really intended to give prospective patrons an insight into what we're all about. That is to say, an intimate setting where patrons can freely mingle with the artists and the artisans and really get a flavor for what goes on in the creation of that work.
And the nice thing, I think, also is you can preview kind of some examples. Are the photographs that are on the website examples of what will be sold at the show, or are they examples of their work in general?
It really depends upon the individual artist or artisan. In many cases, yes, you're seeing examples of pieces that will be available for viewing and for sale. But in other cases, they can be more generalized examples.
Talk about the process about how the work and the artists themselves are selected for the show.
Well, that's a good question, because what we have here is what's called a juried show. That is to say, artists and artisans will submit applications to be considered for participation in the show. And we have a committee of half a dozen folks who receive those applications, and we look at representative, that is to say, photographs that are representative of their work. And based upon the quality of the work, the mix of the work, the originality, the unique style of the work, or what we call voice, We really make the selection of those that are most appropriate to this venue.
Can you talk a little bit about the types of arts and crafts that we'll see? Again, I want to just mention you're tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm talking with the Lehigh Valley Guild of Craftsmen, Brad Sears, who you just heard, and now Paul Grecian, who's the former president of the Guild.
Thank you, Charles. Basically, the kind of work that we're looking at is a pretty broad range, considering that we have a show that's pretty intimate of 30 artisans. It includes work that is both two-dimensional and three-dimensional, ranging from fine art to fine craft. And so it's really an opportunity for people to see, even in a smaller venue, a real cross-section of both what the Lehigh Valley chapter does within its membership, but also a nice range of work that people can consider as gifts for themselves or for family members. Some of the crafts that would be represented would be fine jewelry, paintings of nature subjects, photography, pottery, knitted accessories, a variety of different woodworks, including bowls and candlesticks, but also hand-woven garments, stained glass. And so really whatever a particular guest would be interested in, you're going to find it even in this smaller show.
Can you touch upon a few of the artists who will be featured there and also what, you know, how much recognition they've received for their work?
Well, that's a tough question because virtually everyone who's participating in the show is highly accomplished, certainly from within the Lehigh Valley Guild or the Lehigh Valley Chapter. Jan Schmoyer, who chairs our Standards Committee, does amazing fiber work. Debbie Kramer, Deborah Powell Kramer, works in stained glass, producing really wonderful, wonderful pieces. Denise Wills, also on our show committee, produces some of the finest Pennsylvania redware pottery available anywhere in the world. That's a bit of an oxymoron, I realize. But outside of the Guild, we have several nationally known artists. Ron Orlando is actually a winner of the prestigious National Parks Art Competition. Jerry Putt, this past year, actually just placed in the top five in the Federal Duck Stamp Competition out of over 200 applicants or 200 entries. And certainly our own Paul Grecian, a very noted photographer, has had his work hung in the Smithsonian Institution. I don't know. Paul, do you want to wrap some more words around that?
Well, I think one of the things that's nice is that in addition to having artists who are highly accomplished, you're going to see a selection of their work in a fairly high enough number to really get an appreciation for why it is that they've been so successful. But also, most of these artists are going to offer the option to visitors to even accept a commission. So if a visitor sees the quality of work and decides they would like a piece that isn't even made yet, they can approach these really well-known artists and ask for something specific to be made for them.
Well, that's nice. So it can be a commissioned work from that artist.
Absolutely, yeah.
I understand that the money that's, you know, there's an entrance fee for the event, naturally, that, you know, some of that fee, some of that entrance fee is used to support local community of arts students as well. And could you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, that's correct, Charles. And, you know, certainly the one of the missions, if you will, of the Lehigh Valley Chapter of the Pennsylvania Guild is not only supporting the working artisan, but the artisan of the future. And to that extent, we give a number of awards to outstanding student artists and artisans drawn from area high schools, basically to help them defray some of the costs associated with pursuing a career in the arts.
And so does this get directly distributed to some of the schools, you're saying, in the Lehigh Valley?
Well, certainly in the Lehigh Valley, but what will happen is that the students, we reach out to the schools, specifically to the arts departments, and ask the teachers to recommend specific students for monetary awards. And then we will then cut a check to that student, give it to the art teacher for presentation to the student.
Well, the event takes place on the 26th and 27th of the month, and so it's coming up just around the corner here in a few days. At the it's a 28th annual Holiday Marketplace Fine Art and Craft Show put on by the Lehigh Valley Guild of Craftsmen. Brad Sears and Paul Grecian, thanks for being my guests tonight on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Charles. Thank you.
You're tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY FM Allentown.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Gravity is a masterful achievement in cinema. Look for Oscar nominations in the double digits, including actress for Sandra Bullock, supporting actor for George Clooney, director for Alfonso Cuarón, screenplay for Cuarón and his son Jonas, cinematography, soundtrack, and numerous technical categories. In the movie Gravity, the collision, intentional or not, of Russian satellites sends a debris shower into the path of the space shuttle, where Dr. Ryan Stone, played by Sandra Bullock, is repairing the Hubble Space Telescope, and NASA astronaut Matt Kowalski, played by George Clooney, is zipping around in a jetpack. They're the only survivors, but they are set adrift in space. To reveal much more about the plot or the sequence of events would be a spoiler and take away from your enjoyment of the film. What can be said is that Gravity will have you gripping your popcorn box, the theater armrest, or the hand of the person sitting next to you. The action is so realistic and so believable that you will think that you are floating in space. The visuals are spectacular. The endless darkness of space with its millions of stars is contrasted with the blue orb of Earth, sometimes cloaked in clouds, sometimes with brown deserts or the lights of metropolitan areas visible. The effect is thrilling, but also threatening because of the predicaments of the astronauts. There is spine-tingling action, jaw-dropping visuals, and an inspirational theme. Gravity is a very spare production. Sandra Bullock is on screen for most of the film, George Clooney less so. You couldn't have asked for better casting. Otherwise, five voices, including that of Ed Harris at Mission Control, are heard. Sandra Bullock has such an expressive face and voice. She retains a charm of a young woman, yet again, we won't play spoiler, but because of a very deep personal loss, her faith in the universe, in God, in herself, has been greatly challenged. George Clooney is a wisecracking, savvy sidekick. Most of the film's considerable humor, amidst the chaos, originates with Clooney's quips. He also has the gravitas, the cool head, the grace under pressure to see difficult situations through. Alfonso Cuarón, who directed Children of Men, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and Great Expectations, has created a roller coaster ride of emotions. His pacing is impeccable. Composer Stephen Price uses orchestral, electronica, and heartbeats to make the tension palpable. Gravity is a film that should be seen in the IMAX 3D format. After you see Gravity, you may never want to be down on Earth again. Gravity is MPAA rated PG-13 for intense, perilous sequences, some disturbing images, and brief, strong language. Opening October 25 is The Counselor. An attorney gets involved in drug trafficking. Ridley Scott directs Brad Pitt, Penelope Cruz, Michael Fassbender, Cameron Diaz, Javier Bardem, and Rosie Perez in the crime thriller. Bad Grandpa. Irving Zisman is an 86-year-old grandfather traveling across the United States with his 8-year-old grandson. Johnny Knoxville stars as Irving in the comedy. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.